study the Sermon on the Mount, we come now to a new section. Jesus, having concluded his exposition and application of certain aspects of the law of Moses that had been misinterpreted by the rabbis, now turns to deal with another major problem in the religious community of his day, the problem of hypocrisy. Now, the problem of hypocrisy was certainly not limited to that time or to only those people that Jesus was dealing with here. Hypocrisy is a problem all around us, not only in the realm of religion, but it is seen in all walks of life and among all kinds of people. I would venture to say that everyone has at one time or another and in some way or another been a hypocrite. Yet the most intolerable form of hypocrisy is religious hypocrisy. And more specifically, a hypocritical Christian. The world can take a lot, but the world does not tolerate hypocrisy from Christians. Why is that? I think it's because our Lord Jesus Christ totally condemned hypocrisy and demanded absolute sincerity in his followers. Even the world knows that. Even the world knows the standard that Jesus set. Therefore, the world is irked when someone professes to be a Christian and yet lives a double life. Not only is the world irked by hypocrisy, it is the one sin that the Lord himself would not tolerate. As you go through the Gospels, you find Jesus dealing with sinners all the time. And he was very gracious toward those who were bound in sin. But he had very little compassion on the hypocrites. They were the ones that brought down his wrath. Listen to the Lord denounce the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. Matthew 23 gives us the record of this. Jesus said, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast and the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." And then the Lord goes on to say this, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." And he says that seven times in the course of his denunciation there in Matthew chapter 23. "Woe to you, hypocrites." So hypocrisy is a sin that the Lord Jesus Christ will not tolerate. Now, what is a hypocrite? Well, the word originally referred to an actor, a stage performer, a person who was involved in the theater. That was the original meaning of the word. It was a reference to those who were pretending, those who were putting on a mask and role-playing. So the word originally referred to these people, but it came to refer to those in every walk of life who were pretending to be something they were not. So that is what a hypocrite is. They pretend to feel or to think or to believe a certain way, but in actuality, things are much different. The Pharisees and the Herodians give us a good illustration. They came to Jesus at one point and they said, "Teacher, we know that you are true and that you teach the way of God in truth. And we know that you don't care about anyone or you're not impressed with a person's standing in life. You do not regard the person of men." In other words, they said, "Oh, Jesus, we know that that you judge right judgment. You're not impressed by people's position in life. You do not make judgments based on external things. They were coming to him and they were just really pretending to be in full support of him. They were flattering him. They said to him, "Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" You see, they had come not because they were sincere about Jesus and wanted a real answer to this question. They were trying to trap him, to get him arrested by the Romans. And so they come pretending, "Oh, Jesus, we know that you're a righteous man." But it was all an act. And so they give us a great illustration of what a hypocrite is. So a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something other than they really are. A hypocrite is an actor or a stage player. A hypocrite is also one who preaches one thing and yet does another. One who preaches one thing and yet does another. As we read there from Matthew 23, we're told concerning the scribes and Pharisees, "Whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do." They say and do not do. So they preach one thing, but they practice another. They do not do the very things they tell other people that they ought to be doing. The Apostle Peter, as great as he was, and that other disciple of the Lord Barnabas, they fell into this kind of hypocrisy. They preached one thing and practiced another. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul is writing and he says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." So even the Apostle Peter and Barnabas got caught up in hypocrisy, because they taught the Gentiles that there was no distinction between Jew and Gentile, but God accepted them both on the same grounds. But yet, out of fear of falling out of favor with certain men, they compromised and they failed to practice what they preached. And so when certain men were there, they would no longer eat with the Gentiles. Paul said they were hypocrites, and he challenged them on it. Now, the hypocrite is driven by three things. A hypocrite is driven, number one, by self-interest. That's the motive, one of the motives behind what the hypocrite is doing is self-interest. This is going to advance the interest of that person. Secondly, self-glorification. Hypocrites are driven by self-glorification. They want to receive glory. They want to be praised. They want to be looked upon as being special in various ways, and in the worst case, in a spiritual way. And then thirdly, they are driven by the praise of men. They want the applause of their fellow men. They want men to think highly of them. So these are the three things that drive a hypocritical person. Now, the Christian life is a life of good works. And that's what Jesus moves on now to deal with. And he brings up these different things that we'll be involved in as Christian people. Charitable deeds, acts of kindness and benevolence toward people who are in need. Prayers. Prayer is part of the Christian life. Fasting is part of the Christian life. And there are many other things. The Lord brings up these just to serve as illustrations of his point. And the point that he's making is that we as his people must watch our motives. And we must make sure that when we're involved in our religious duty, whatever it might be, that we are motivated by nothing less than a desire to please the Lord and to glorify Him. Any other motive for doing what I'm doing as a Christian is actually hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy is a very subtle thing. There's something inside of all of us that causes us to seek out self-glorification, causes us to be driven by our own self-interest, causes us to long for the praise of men. This is a natural tendency of man, and we see it demonstrated thoroughly among those people who are outside of Christ, but we quite often even see it in the church. It just takes on a little bit of a different twist. In the church, it's spiritual. People are wanting to be seen as being super saints or more spiritual than they actually are. But it's all a form of pride. It's spiritual pride. So we have to be on our guard. Now, Jesus gives us some very vivid pictures here of the kinds of things that were going on at His time. And at the time that Jesus lived and among the people that He lived among, it was a religious culture, and therefore much of the sin was sin in the realm of the religious. So it was pride, and it was these hypocritical kinds of things that the Lord was really striking at. Now, as a fellowship, we are not a real churchy kind of a fellowship. And now some of you came from maybe like a fundamentalist background or something like that, and you know what I'm talking about. You know the difference there in the fundamentalist kind of a background. It's a real churchy thing. There's a heavy religious culture there, much like the religious culture at the time of Christ. And a lot of times it's in that kind of a setting that you really see, as Jesus demonstrated here, you really see the blatant and obvious forms of hypocrisy. When you move away from, you know, that heavy religious kind of a culture, even in a church, you don't see it as clearly, but believe me, it's still here. And so it could even be more subtle among us. And so we have to be very careful and on our guard. But listen to what the Lord said. He said, first of all, take heed. So be careful. Watch out for this, in other words, because this is something that just creep up on you. It's something that, you know, you might not even be aware of, and then all of a sudden you find yourself doing it. It's because of that bent towards sin. So take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. We all want to be thought of highly by other people. And as we do a charitable act of whatever sort, there's always that temptation to, you know, announce it. Jesus said here, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. So, man, these guys had just gone so far into this, they would actually sound a trumpet when they were going to give a contribution. The trumpet would sound and the crowd would gather around, and then the spokesman would say, now, brother so-and-so today is going to dedicate X amount of shekels to, you know, whatever the cause was. And everybody would stand around and marvel and applaud, and the person would walk away feeling great. And we see that in our society today. You know, I read in the paper all the time about this entertainer or, you know, this famous person about the contribution that they made to this, that, or the other thing. And, you know, they'll call a whole crew of news people together. You know, here we are, and today so-and-so is going to give hundreds of thousands of dollars to this cause. And, you know, everybody's there to record it on camera. It's written about in our newspapers, and we can all read about it. Now, this is the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. When we do our charitable deeds, whatever they might be, reaching out to people in need, He said, don't blow a trumpet. Gather a crowd around. Hey, look what I'm doing. Aren't I spiritual? Don't you wish that you were as good as I am? You know, Jesus said, don't do it that way. What Jesus is teaching us against is this thing of the desire to be seen by men. That's what He says. He says, Don't do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Now, he's not saying that we can't publicly do a charitable deed. If you're going to do a charitable deed, a lot of times you have to do it publicly, not always. I mean, you might write out a check to something and nobody would know about it except you and the Lord and the people that received it. But on the other hand, there might be a situation where there's an individual that you're going to help out and there might be attention that's drawn to this and all. But we have to make sure that our hearts are right, that we're not doing it because of the attention that we're getting, that we're not doing it to be seen by men. If men happen to see us, fine. And as a matter of fact, you remember the Lord told us to let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But remember what he said there, that they would see our works and glorify our Father in heaven, not see our good works and say, wow, what a spiritual person. Now, you see, if people are glorifying us, then our motive is obviously wrong. We're drawing attention to ourselves rather than to the Lord. So Jesus said, don't sound a trumpet. Don't gather around a big crowd. But when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So not making a big pronouncement of it. You know, there are some churches, and as I was saying, in that heavy, fundamentalist, religious, cultural kind of churches, you know, when somebody gives, I mean, the trumpet is blown. Brother so-and-so is going to give $10,000 today, you know, and he stands up and waves his check and everybody cheers. And sometimes they get into kind of almost an auction thing, you know, who can beat this? And you got different people, well, I'll give $15,000, I'll give $20,000, you know. And it's all this competitive thing to, you know, who can give the most. And then everybody stand marveling, oh, wow. Well, that, oh, wow, that's it right there. That's all you're going to get. That's the reward. That's what the Lord said. You see, if you're doing it to be seen by men, to have them marveling at you, he says, then that's the reward. You have your reward. But if you do it in secret, in other words, you're doing it just as unto the Lord. You want the Lord to be blessed by this. You want the Lord to be glorified. The Lord himself will reward you. And then he moves on to his next illustration, that of prayer. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. What do the hypocrites do? They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Now, Jesus is not saying we can't pray publicly. He's not saying you can't pray in church. He's not saying you can't pray on a street corner. But you see, they were praying in the synagogues and on the street corners, notice, to be seen by men. That was their motive. And again, in this highly religious culture, that was something that people were greatly impressed by. People aren't too impressed today if you stand on a street corner and pray. They think you're a nut. But there are definitely places where this is applicable. And so we have to be on our guard. That when we're praying with the right motive. Now, there are some people who, in their prayer, their primary interest is to impress the people they're praying with. And so they're very articulate. They use all of the right analogies and they quote all of the right Bible verses. And it's a very wonderful prayer from a technical standpoint. But you know, a prayer like that doesn't get beyond the ceiling. It can't get beyond the ceiling because it wasn't meant to. It was meant for those that you were praying with rather than the one you were supposed to be praying to. We have to guard ourselves against these things. This is part of our sinful nature, where even in spiritual things, we want to impress people. Even in spiritual things, we want people to think that we're more spiritual than we really are. It's part of our fallen nature. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Go into your room. Now, again, Jesus is not forbidding us from praying publicly. He's forbidding us from praying with the motive of being seen by men or receiving praise from men. So he says, if you've got a problem in that area, then go into your room. Shut the door behind you so no one can see you. Because prayer is meant to be directed to God and first and foremost for God. And any other motive is a wrong motive. And then the third illustration he gives is that of fasting. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. So this was a state of religion at the time of Christ. Just totally hypocritical. There was no sincerity in it. There was no genuine desire to please and to glorify God. It was all a show. It was all just a big act. The religious leaders of the day, they were the best actors in the country. Boy, there's some great actors in the religious world today also. You can turn on TBN and see a whole strew of them. Boy, these guys, you know, they could make it big in Hollywood. I don't know why they don't just make the crossover. They can turn the tears on in a split second. They can turn them off just as quickly. They can plead passionately for the poor little ones, when in actuality they want your money to stick in their pocket so they can go get another Rolls Royce. This is pure, unadulterated hypocrisy, much as it was in the time of Jesus. And so when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. These guys would put ashes on their faces and walk around moping, just waiting for someone to ask them what was up. You know, just waiting for someone to come along and say, well, how come you look that way? Oh, well, can't talk about it. Well, is something the matter? No, everything's fine. You want to go over and have a bite to eat? Oh, no, I can't eat today. Well, how come? Are you sick? No, brother, I'm fasting. You know, they just couldn't wait to get that out. Wow, you're fasting. You must be spiritual. If that's the way you approach fasting, you might as well go eat. Because God is not impressed. God is not impressed. Now, the people around you might be impressed, but God's not impressed. You've impressed them. And that's what these guys did. They disfigured their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. See, that's the problem. Appearing to men to be fasting. Now, the question that we all must ask ourselves is, do we practice what we preach? Do we tell people one thing and yet do another? Are we telling people that they ought to live a certain kind of life and we're not living it ourselves? You know, it's interesting that sometimes the very thing that a person is the most adamant about is the very thing that they themselves are being a hypocrite in. I remember back when Jimmy Swaggart was exposed for his adulterous affairs. And I personally remember hearing him or seeing him on TV preach prior to that exposing. And I remember on a couple of occasions he was preaching on adultery with a vehemence. I mean, like, so hard. I actually began to wonder, does this guy have a problem in this area? I mean, you know, he's just going way too far with this thing. Sure enough, later it became public knowledge that he did indeed have a problem with that. You see, that's why so many people are turned off to the gospel today. That's why so many people are turned off when they hear the name of Jesus or when they think of the church or hear anything about being a Christian, because this blatant hypocrisy. A guy who stands up and condemns the adulterer, and yet he himself is practicing adultery. It is so vitally important that we practice what we preach, because people are watching us. People are listening to us. People are wanting to determine whether or not what we believe is true. And this is the way they'll determine it, primarily by whether or not you live it. So as you're out telling people you're a Christian, you need to be living your Christian life. As you're out setting a high standard, you better be living that high standard. Because if you're not living it, you're a hypocrite and you're undermining the work that God is seeking to do in the lives of people. I don't think that among the outsiders, there is a greater sin than hypocrisy. That is it for them. That is the one thing that you so often hear from people. The church is full of hypocrites. And, you know, we'll say cute little things like, well, then you can join. Another one won't hurt. You know, because, again, the church isn't the only place that's full of hypocrites. The world is full of hypocrites. But if there's any place where we shouldn't have hypocrites, it's in the church. Because Jesus was intolerable of hypocrisy. And he taught that we are to be absolutely sincere as his people in all that we do. So we have to be careful. There are a lot of people that come to church on Sunday, and yet you'd never know they're Christians by the way they live during the week. Well, they'll talk about the Lord here and there, but there's no reality of Christ in their life. And you see, that's what the non-believer, that's what the skeptic, that's what the person who's looking for a cause against Christianity, that's the person they look for. Oh yeah, there's another one of those Christians. Look at them. Look at them telling people how to live and look how they're living. Telling people to be honest and not to cheat and look how they cheat other people. Or condemning people who are, you know, involved in this and that and the other thing. And look what they're involved in. You see, that's what undermines the witness of the church. And so you who claim to be a Christian and yet live contrary to Christ, you are having a negative effect on the church itself. Not merely are you, you know, a joke to everyone around you just on a personal level, but you're causing greater damage because people tend to generalize and stereotype. And they look at your hypocrisy and they say, oh, all Christians are hypocrites. They look at Jimmy Swaggart or Jim Baker or any one of these other people and they say, all pastors are hypocrites. They're all phonies. They're all in it for the money. See, people just have a tendency to generalize. So we have to be on our guard, since this is such an issue today in our society. We need to go out of our way to make sure that we're not being hypocritical. And if we've been hypocritical, the best thing we could do is go back to certain people and confess that we have been and ask them to forgive us. Instead of pretending like we weren't. This can be a very powerful witness to go to someone and say, you know what, I've told you I was a Christian and I was living like this and I was being a hypocrite. Please do not think that what I was doing is actually what the Bible teaches. Some might need to do that. Now there are two questions that I want to address before we close. Number one is this. Can a true Christian be a hypocrite? The answer is absolutely. A true Christian can be a hypocrite. Peter was certainly a true Christian. He was an apostle. But as Paul told us in Galatians 2, Peter played the hypocrite and Barnabas fell into it with him. So it's possible for us as Christian people to be hypocritical at times. But here's the thing. We've got to remember. Number one, it grieves the Lord. The Lord is grieved by this. He's bothered by this. He was exceedingly bothered by the hypocrisy of the leaders of his day. As I said, that was the intolerable sin as far as the Lord was concerned. He was gracious and compassionate and forgiving in every case. But when it came to hypocrisy, he would not tolerate it. It grieves the Lord. It stumbles people. Hypocrisy is a great stumbling block to people today. It stumbles people. And another thing, remember this, it will always bring the rebuke of the Lord. If you're a true believer and caught up in hypocrisy, the Lord will rebuke you. He will make your hypocrisy known. He'll embarrass you. He'll humble you. Peter, I would imagine, was very humbled and embarrassed when Paul had to stand up and say, Peter, you are being a hypocrite. The Lord will do that. Second question, can hypocrisy indicate an absence of true salvation? Absolutely. Chronic hypocrisy is a clear indication of an unregenerate person. Now, it's possible for Christians to fall into hypocrisy. But the Lord is going to deal with you and humble you, and you need to respond to that. But a person who has a chronic hypocritical life is a person who probably isn't really a Christian. And, you know, it's possible to be part of a church. It's possible to be in leadership. You can be a deacon. You can be an elder. You can be a pastor or an evangelist. You can be a bishop and not be a Christian. You're a hypocrite. You're an actor. Some people are great actors. Judas Iscariot was probably the greatest actor of all time, because he never was a believer, but he fooled everyone but Jesus. When Judas finally showed his true colors, the apostles did not say, "Oh man, we knew it all the time." You know what they said? They said, "Unbelievable. We would have never thought that of him." They couldn't believe it. So much so that when Jesus said, you remember at the Last Supper, he said, "Tonight one of you is going to betray me." They all began to ask within themselves, "Is it I?" They didn't say, "Oh, we know who that is, Judas. We knew it all the time." No, they didn't know. This guy carried on his acting so well that nobody knew it but one. Jesus knew all the time. And you know, you might have faked everybody out, but Jesus Christ knows whether or not you're sincere. And if you're living a hypocritical life, chronic hypocrisy, you're not saved. God will save you. He'll forgive you, but you've got to humble yourself and admit that that is indeed what you've been doing. He will save you. Now, it has been said, the gospel would be believable were it not for Christians. It has also been said that Christians are the best argument both for and against Christianity. A true Christian is a powerful argument for the reality of Jesus Christ and the gospel. A sincere person. A true Christian isn't a sinless person. A true Christian isn't a perfect person. A true Christian is an honest person and a sincere person. A person who admits that they fall short. A person who recognizes their weakness. And there's a humility seen in their lives. And if there ever is a hypocrisy, it's something that they're quick to deal with. So we're not talking about being a perfect person. We're talking about being sincere, though. You see, a true Christian is a powerful testimony for the reality of Christ and the gospel. A hypocrite is a powerful argument against Christianity. Now, of course, that doesn't change the facts. Christ is who he said he was, and the gospel is what he claimed it to be. And nothing can change that, hypocrisy or not. But to the unbeliever, a person who claims to be a Christian but doesn't live like one is an argument in their mind against the reality of Christianity. Never let it be said of any one of us that the gospel would be believable if it were not for us. May it be just the opposite. May it be, "I believe the gospel not only because of what it claims, but because I've seen it lived out in the lives of these people who claim to know Christ." That's what the Lord is calling us to. That's what he's saying. Do not be like the hypocrites. That's his word to us today. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't put on a mask. Don't be a phony. Don't say one thing and do something else. Be sincere, be true, and you'll know God's blessing, and other people will be drawn to him rather than driven from him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that monitors us and checks us and calls us to search our motives and to be pure before you. And Lord, I pray that you would purge your body from hypocrisy. Lord, cleanse us from that evil that you detest yourself. And Lord, help us to be sincere. And Lord, I would pray for any among us today who have been convicted at the hypocrisy in their own life, that they would not leave this building today without repentance, without confession and forgiveness of their sin. Help us all, Lord, to have the right motive in whatever we do, whether it be charitable deeds or praying or fasting or witnessing or any of the things that we do as Christians. Help us to be motivated by love for Christ and a desire to please Him. And Lord, help us to practice what we preach. Help us not to say one thing and do another, but help us, Lord, to be sincere. In Jesus' name, amen.